Hello. Hello? Hello? Hello.
I don't think they've started yet.
Oh, someone's on here. Good.
Oh, it's me. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Ryan. How's it going?
Good. Is anyone on here yet?
Lady just chimed in.
Hi, this is Chris, one of the hosts for tonight. How's everyone doing?
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Let's see, Lisa, Sophia, are you guys on here? Okay. We're going to wait a couple more minutes for everyone else to come on. Welcome, everybody, and those of you who are new, first time calling in, welcome. Going to wait just a few
Thank you,
minutes
Chris.
until others can come on. You're welcome. You're welcome. Hang on one second.
Man, did we ever have a storm tonight?
Did you? Was it
Where do you
thunderstorming?
live?
I live in Western Canada.
Ah, Canada. Okay. I'm here in Ohio. We had some rain today. Lots of rain and thunderstorms.
The rain loss?
Was pretty much all day.
Hello.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Chris, it's Sophia.
Sophia, hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. I think we're waiting for Lisa. We're waiting maybe another minute or two, and then we can get it started.
Okay.
Hello, this is Lisa.
There's Lisa. All right, we are at 9:33. I'm sure we'll have other people coming in the next few minutes. Welcome everyone to the SOS conference calls. And this is Chris. We have Lisa and Sophia here tonight. And for those of you who are new, SOS is really just standing on scripture. We started doing this, I don't know, 3 months ago because we needed that. We thought that people needed more of a connection point than just a prayer wall. And so far, it's been a great success. Many people are encouraged, and they've learned a lot. They've been strengthened in their walk and their stand for their marriages. So we're happy about that. The Lord is moving. I think we see every week we see different people coming on and sharing praise reports, either on Saturday mornings, Charlene's testimonials that she shares through the RMM website, or we see on the prayer wall, we see people posting that their husband or wife is moving closer and closer toward coming home. So praise the Lord. The Lord does answer prayers, and when we don't lose our faith and our hope and our trust in Him, we see some incredible things happening. And anyway, so before we get into tonight's conference call, let me do some general housekeeping. For those of you who are on the phone, unless you're going to speak up and join in at some point when we have Q&A, we'd probably prefer you to put yourselves on mute, because the speakers will be amplified, all the background noises will be amplified through the through your phone and on a conference call. And we usually get about 25, 30 people on a conference call, so it's very easy to have a lot of noise and static in the background. I think pretty much covered it all for tonight. Lisa, anything else before I do an opening prayer?
No, that's it.
You're still here. Okay. All right, so we usually start out with opening prayer, and then we'll close it out with prayer after we're done with our conference call for tonight. Are there any men on the call who would like to open up our conference call with a prayer? No men. All right.
Fire away.
I know they're here. I'm sorry? Okay.
Fire away.
Heavenly Father, we've come before you tonight. We want to thank you for the time and the space that we could come together, all of us husbands and wives who are standing for our marriages. Father, we come to strengthen each other, to encourage each other as we are standing for our husbands, our wives, our families, our children. Lord, you know our hearts and you know what we need to hear. We know that you hear all of our prayers. And you're faithful to hear them and answer them. And we thank you, Father, for the promises that if two or more are gathered in your name, that you'll join us. So, Father, we ask that you join us in our conference call for tonight. Bless it and anoint it with your Holy Spirit, your word, your truth. And let it be a balm to the hurts in our hearts. Because that's what all of us need. So, Father, we ask, lead us and guide us in your conference call tonight, and reveal to us those things that we don't know. Jeremiah 33:3. As we call to you, you'll show us great and mighty things that we don't know. So, Father, we ask, share with us through the Holy Spirit those things we don't know, so we could learn something from you tonight and walk away stronger and filled with more hope and faith and trust in you, Father, that your word is true and that you are faithful to make sure that your word does not come back void. So, Father, we ask for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. I'm going to pass this off to Lisa and Sophia. I think they've got something ready.
Okay. So tonight we're going to do something a little different. The topic on this evening is a gentle and quiet spirit. The question that Sophia and I are going to pose to the women is, are you dripping? And the question that Chris is going to pose to the men and speak to the men is, do you hear a dripping? So with that said, Sophia and I have prepared a little audio script, and we're going to talk about, we're going to come from the scripture 1 Peter 3, 1 through, I think I'll start reading it 1 through 4. So let me just read that first. It says, like, and I'm sure all of you are familiar with this, but likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The word talks about a contentious woman, and that it's like a dripping. I know Chris knows these scriptures a lot better than I do, but so what we wanted to do tonight, this is the little skit that was based off of a real conversation that I actually had with my husband. And so we're going to share this tonight. We're going to do it two ways, the wrong way and the right way. Okay, so please excuse any mistakes that we might make. We've practiced it twice, but, you know, you always get a little nervous when you're doing it in front of people. Luckily, you all can't see us, so we'll do our best. So this is, I'll be playing the role of the wife, and Sophia will be playing the role of the, I'll be playing the role of the standing wife, and Sophia will be playing the role of the prodigal husband. You ready, Sophia?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Oh, and this is a phone call, so ring, ring.
Hello.
Hey, James, it's Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Lisa. How are you?
I'm okay. So I wanted to ask you about vacations for this summer. I wanted to take our daughter on a two-week vacation, and we know we'd be gone just for a couple of weeks, and we were planning to go to Florida. So I just wanted to make sure you were okay with that, since, you know, I'm taking her out of state and everything.
You know, Lisa, I think we've had this conversation prior, and this is one of the issues, you know, that we had when we were married. And I don't appreciate, you know, my daughter being away from me for so long. And I know we've had this conversation plenty of times. I don't know why you keep on pushing for 2 weeks. I only want her gone for a week, so you know, figure it out, see what you can do. But a week is only what's going to work for me.
Well, I don't understand what the problem is, because we do this every year, and so what is wrong with her going and spending time with her BFF? She's on summer vacation, so what's the problem?
The problem is that I told you this before on several occasions. I don't like her to be away from me for so long, and a week is all that's going to work for me. So take it or leave it, a week or nothing.
Well, I think you could reconsider, considering that she only gets to see her once a year.
I'm not reconsidering anything. A week, and that's it. If you want to talk about it anymore, you know,
ridiculous.
I'm going to hang up now, and, you know, the conversation ends here. A week, and that's it.
This is just ridiculous. Fine. I'll just talk to you later. Bye. Okay. So that's as you can figure out, is probably the wrong way. All right, so we're going to do it again. And so as we get ready to go into this time, I'm going to say a little prayer, and and then we'll go into it. So, Father, I'm getting ready to talk to my husband. I would like to take our daughter on a trip for a couple of weeks, and I'm just asking that you soften his heart, that you create in him a clean heart, and, God, that you take away the stony heart and give him a heart of flesh, and that your will be done. And, Lord God, help me to be and show him a gentle and a quiet spirit. Amen. Ring, ring.
Hello.
Hey, James, it's Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Lisa. How are you?
I'm okay. I wanted to ask you about taking our daughter on a trip this summer for a couple of weeks to spend time with her BFF. And just, I'm sure, you know, you're okay with that?
You know, Lisa, I appreciate the phone call. We've had this conversation plenty of times. A week is only what's going to work for me. I don't like her being away from me for so long. So how about you just do a week?
Okay. We can probably just do a week. That's not a problem. Are you okay with, you know, a week then this month?
A week is fine with me, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you have an awesome day. How's your day going so far?
It's going well. How's yours?
My day's going pretty good. So I'll let you go. Have a good day at work, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to let Sophia talk first, because Sophia brought this up about something that the prodigal does when we challenge them. And even if we don't challenge them in a conversation, and that is bringing up, you know, past issues. So, Sophia, are you prepared to speak to that a little bit first?
I am, just, you know, from personal experience, you know, with my husband, any time that I've brought up something, you know, my situation is a little different. I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys on here have, you know, smaller children. My daughter's already grown. She's 21 and out of the house. But just, you know, with other things that we've had in regards to house or in general, you know, there's a lot of times where just out of the blue, he just throws out stuff that I used to do in the past, or my reactions in the past, or how I would react in the past. And, you know, praise God, I was always able to just, you know, just be like, you know what, you're right. You're right, and I apologize, you know, for that in the past, but and I would just leave it at that. I wouldn't buy into or feed into him trying to start an argument. I just cut it off and just zip my lips. And it's easier said than done, I understand, but you know, a gentle and quiet spirit has really, really, in my walk, in my journey, I've gotten to experience it. You know, put it into work quite a few times, and I can honestly tell you that he's noticed the difference of how God has changed me, because he's mentioned to his mom that I'm a completely different person than what I was before. So that's what I can, you know, attest to my testimony.
Amen. So tonight, there's a scripture in Proverbs 25 and 24 says, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Then in Proverbs 27 and 15, I think it is, see if I can find that real quick because I want to read it, I want to guess. Proverbs 27 and 15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. So verse 16, whosoever hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which betrayeth itself. So if you notice that what I did wrong in the first one was I didn't take it to God in prayer first, and then I continued to challenge him. And when you're challenging him, it's not showing that gentle and quiet spirit that is precious in the sight of God. Also, it sounds like and I'm going to give it to Chris here in a few minutes, but to the man that's listening, you're challenging them, you're not respecting them, and it sounds like this constant dripping that is very annoying. If you leave your faucet dripping, it's annoying. And so when you do that, it just makes it more difficult, I feel, to even have a decent conversation. You as the wife get frustrated. You don't feel like you're being heard. And the second one, it does well to go and have that prayer with God and then always say, Lord, if it be your will. And this was a real-life scenario for me. I really wanted to go away for 2 weeks. And when I asked him about doing it for 2 weeks, he said that was too long. And so my response to him was, well, what would you recommend? And he said, well, no more than a week. And I said, okay. Simple as that, okay. Because I stayed prayed up with the Lord, it really didn't even bother me to say, okay, I wasn't frustrated, because I realized that when I am submissive and respectful to my husband, it makes God happy. And so I applied that principle with my daughter, who's 10 years old. She likes to challenge me. And I had a conversation with her and basically said, you know, God is the head of Daddy. Daddy is the head of Mommy. And Daddy and Mommy are the head of you. You are on the bottom of the totem pole. And she responded and said, well, actually, you know, my dog is on the bottom of the totem pole. Like, okay, well, then your dog can be under you. And what I explained to her was that when you challenge me, it doesn't make God happy. It doesn't make me happy. And you're not going to really get what you're hoping to get. And even if you do, it's just not a pleasant atmosphere. So we want to always, just to put it in very simplistic terms, we want to do that thing which makes God happy. So sometimes people say, how can I do this for him? He's so mean. He's saying horrible things to me. He's not this, that, and the other. It doesn't, as Charlene says, it doesn't matter what he's saying, what he's doing, because you as a divorced or separated woman, your job at this point in time is to do those things that make God happy. Because God, that moves the heart of God when he sees that you're trying to have that gentle, that quiet spirit, mm-hmm. that submissive spirit. In Ephesians 5:33, it says that a wife, see that she reverence her husband. When God sees that, the kind of heart that you have, it moves him to act on your behalf and truly turn that heart of your husband from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. So I wanted, before I give it to Chris and the men, because tonight we want to hear from the men as well as the women. If there are any women on the call that have a brief testimony, you know that you were that dripping, contentious wife, or maybe you feel, you know now that you're still that dripping, contentious wife, and what you want to do or what you have done to move beyond that point to a woman who has a gentle and a quiet spirit. And also, I want to say that I've put that in practice not only with how I speak to mm-hmm. my husband, but how I speak to anybody, my
exactly.
daughter. Even our pet, the pet grabbed my daughter's shoe yesterday, started to run off with it. My first instinct would normally be, Cookie, bring that shoe back. But, you know, instead of yelling, I said, Cookie, bring me the shoe, bring me the shoe. And the dog turned around and brought me the shoe. I was shocked. And then on top of that, she went and got the other shoe and brought that one to me. So it just goes to say, to show that we don't have to challenge. We don't have to yell. God will honor the wife who honors him and trying to show that gentle and that quiet spirit. It is truly precious in the sight of God. And if we are daughters of Sarah, remember, Sarah referred to Abraham as Lord. So is there any women that want to chime in at this point and have any comments or scriptures or any testimony that you want to share?
And one thing that I wanted to mention before questions is, you know, you're not being a doormat. And there's a lot of people that say, or, you know, friends or family, like, oh, my gosh, you know, you're just being a doormat. You're letting him walk all over you. And that's not it. I mean, there's scriptures, you know, to back this up. And like Lisa said, I mean, you're being obedient, and you're it's in the eyes of the Lord. He's looking at what you're doing. So it is not at all being a doormat. And I don't know if there's any questions, but I want to share two testimonies, but I'll go ahead and let you guys ask any questions if you want.
Or comments.
Or comments.
Testimony, because I was one of those that, you know, felt like, I won't say I felt like I had to be heard, but I wanted to be heard. but I, the Lord made it where I had to, my husband had asked me, did I have a couple of dollars to get him some gas? So I was like, oh, like, Lord, I really don't want to. Okay, Lord, okay, I'm going to show love and care. I'm not going to, you know, make my little comment like, well, if you're home, you have gas money. So I'm like, no, I'm just going to go ahead. Sure, I do. So I met him to give him the gas, to give him the money for the gas. So Maddie said, hey. And then I noticed he had, like, a knot, like, on his elbow that was, like, really big. And I was like, well, what is that? He said, oh, yeah, remember I told you I had to go to the hospital? And I was like, oh, yeah. He said, that's what it was really painful and hurtful. I said, well, they gave you medicine for it? He was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, you taking it? He was like, well, no, I never went and got the prescriptions. And, like, at that point, I would normally be like, I was like, okay, God, you told me to zip my lip, be calm, let you take control, bring my complaints to you. So I was like, okay, well, where's your prescriptions? He was like, oh, I think I got them in the car. I think I got them with me. Tessa, can I see them, please? I was like, you already on the insurance. Like, you have insurance. There's no reason why you shouldn't get your prescription, but can you just give them to me? I'm going to get them. So he's like, okay. So he gave me the papers. And so, like, I really wanted to go see if you want to be out with other people, because if I was your, I would let my man be looking like that. But I was like, you know, I just got to bite my tongue. I was like, Lord, just help me bite it. Just, Lord, help me bite it. I was trying to let up the window so fast because I didn't want my flesh to rise. So I got the window up. We drive off, and he drives off. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping me, God. Thank you, Jesus. I just, oh, I want to give you so much honor, so much praise right now, Lord. I kept my control, Jesus. I kept my control. So now we're passing each other, and I'm like having this whole mental time with God, and I'm just like, you know, and he called me. He was like, I can't believe, like, you didn't even look at me when I passed, and I'm looking like, boy, you don't know what I was going on in this car. You didn't want to see my face. So I was like, oh, no, I, so then I said, no, I just wasn't paying attention like that, and then I kind of, like, turned the gear off, and then I checked him. I said, no, I said, I was a little frustrated, but it's nothing, but I don't want you to think I was mad at you or anything, and that's why I wasn't looking. He was like, no, I understand, and that was it. And I was like, whoo, thank you, Jesus, Lord, like, this thing is really amazing when you shut your mouth and let you do it. I was like, God, you're good. So, yeah. So I wanted to give that testimony. So after that, they kind of gave me a little hope that every time now, I like literally just say, okay, God, let me hear you. You keep telling me to bring all my complaints to you, so let me complain because you're going to hear me. I hope you got your little popcorn or your drink because it's going to be a minute.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
Anyone else?
So I will say that I feel like I was one of those wives because I was raised by a single mom, you know, the strong single mom that was raising kids by herself. So I had that image of this is what a woman's supposed to be. So when I got married, I took that into my marriage. And I will say I think I wrestled with my husband says, oh, I just want to be, we should just be friends. And I feel like if I'm being submissive to him, and that is telling him I'm okay with just being his friend. So I feel like I wrestle with that in the, because I feel like God has already told me, you know, he's still your husband. If this is what he wants to do, then you still be submissive and you do this and you do that and you keep your mouth shut. But I feel like that might be giving him the wrong idea of it's okay for me to just be your friend. Mm-hmm. So how would you say to deal with that part of being the submissive wife to the prodigal husband?
Here's my question. Are you guys divorced or are you still married?
We're still married.
Okay. See, my husband and I, our divorce was finalized in December, but what's not to say, I mean, I don't know if you and your husband ever had the relationship of a friend, or if you guys considered each other, you know, best friends. So, I mean, obviously the only person that can answer that question for you is the Lord, but what's not to say that he wants to start new, like the Lord wants to start new with you and your husband and start off as friends, and that turns into something else. I mean, there's a lot of restored marriages where they just start dating, and then it kind of progresses into something else, so... You know, I think that's something that a lot of us wrestle with. I know that's something that, you know, I wrestle with as well. But that's just my suggestion. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. As a matter of fact, my husband, we're divorced, and when I first approached him that I wanted to restore the marriage, what he said to me, well, let's work on being friends first. And I said, okay, but then I just lost my mind temporarily and really just wanted to restore the marriage. But I thought it was interesting that he said that. Let's work on being friends first. But I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
Okay.
And here's, I want to share two testimonies about, I want to say maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was kind of, you know, going through a little rough day. I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys can, you know where I'm coming from. But, you know, I really felt led in my spirit. Prior to us, you know, I knew that this was something that I had. I was a contentious, you know, in my marriage, I always wanted things to go my way. And I was very, very, I always had a little snappy attitude, little quick comebacks and you know, just stuff like that. I know now that it bothered my husband, and, you know, the way that I was treating him pushed him away. Now, will I take responsibility for his actions and what happened in our marriage? No, I am not going to take responsibility for what he did. I can only take responsibility for what I did. And that's something that, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me with that, not just with my husband, but, and like Lisa said, how we treat everybody, just people in general, parents, kids, pets, you know, strangers, family, cousins, brothers and sisters. So it really felt led in my spirit to ask my husband for forgiveness. And at first I was like, okay, is this just my flesh, or okay, God, is this really you? Like, do you really want me to do this? And I, out of obedience, you know, it just felt really led to ask him for forgiveness. I reached out to my husband and I asked him, I was like, hey, are you going to be home later? He's like, yeah. He's like, what's up? Is everything okay? I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll be home at 7. I was like, okay, you know, I'll text you when I'm on my way to the house. He's like, okay. So I texted him while I was on my way, and I actually ended up getting to the house before he did. And he had just walked in from work. We sat down at a dining room table, and I was only there I only went to do what I was, you know, led in my spirit to do, to apologize to him. I didn't plan on staying there for 30 minutes to an hour. I only went to say what I had to say, what was in my heart. And my husband was very receptive. He was very quiet the whole time. You could tell he was listening to what I was saying. And I apologized for words that were spoken by me, for actions that I did that caused him hurt, that for not respecting him as my husband, for not giving him his place. There's I was able wholeheartedly to ask him for forgiveness. And as I got up to leave, I gave him a hug, and he hugged me, and he said, "I'm sorry too." And I said, "For what?" And he said, "For the way that I hurt you." And I was able to say, because forgiveness is an everyday thing. It's not just a one and done and okay, move on. And I did tell him, I was like, "I forgive you." I said, "I forgive you because if I hang on to that hurt, to the anger, to the bitterness, the only person that I'm hurting is myself." And I did tell him, "I love you." And he did reply, "I love you too." And then I said, "Okay, you know," and then I felt led, like, "Okay, now it's time to go." So I was like, "I know you just got home from work. You know, I just wanted to come and talk to you, you know, to apologize." And I was like, I'm going to go, and so you can just, you know, I know you're tired, so you can just relax." He's like, "Okay." And I left. And this past Monday, I felt led to invite him over for dinner. And I texted him and asked him if he, you know, if he was going to be in the area. I left it open. I was like, I don't know if you have any plans later on tonight or if you're going to be in the area, but I'm making, you know, dinner, and, you know, if you want to stop by and have some dinner. All he said was, "Thank you, I'll let you know." Lo and behold, and like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, he said, "Is dinner ready?" And I said, "Yes." He's like, "I'm downstairs." So he came up and he had dinner, and he was at my place for an hour and a half, and we talked about everything, work, just everything in general, and except that. But, you know, we talked about everything. It was a good conversation, laughed, and then he went home. So another thing that I want to add on there is, like I mentioned earlier, my daughter is 21 years old, so we don't have little kids. He didn't have to come. He doesn't have to come to my place, because there's no little children to spend time with. So I thank God that he softened his heart. He put it in his heart to come and spend time with me. That to me means more, you know, yeah, than any little thing. If he texts me or not, or this and that, the time spent, the conversation spent one-on-one is what's meaningful for me. So those are my two testimonies, and I hope that if anybody's on this call who doesn't have children with their spouses or their children are grown, that this is an encouragement.
Yes. Love it. Okay. Thank you, Sophia. I just think that's awesome, because I was sharing earlier this week, it doesn't matter if you have a child or don't have a child. The child does not bring the husband home. I have a daughter, and that is not what God is going to use to bring your husband home. Now, I will say this, the children's prayers do help. I think it's what touched God to touch my heart and open my eyes, but that's not why he's going to come back. He was lacking something between you and him, me and him. It has nothing to do, he didn't leave because the child was being the contentious child. That's not what it brings back the spouse. It really isn't. And so Sophia's testimony is an awesome example that he came because of that. Now, sometimes I know people have stayed together because of the children, or they may come back because of the children, but we all know that those are not what God is looking for, the type of marriage that's going to bring glory to to God. It's not the kind of marriage that is, that you typically find people are saying, "Oh, we're so happy, but we're only here for the children." That's not what, you know, God wants for us. He wants his best for us. So at this point, we want to give the men a chance to talk about, do you hear a dripping? And what it sounds like to a man when a woman is constantly challenging him in what he's, you know, just constantly challenging him. So, Chris, I'm going to let you start, and then you have the floor, you and the men.
Okay. So I have, for me and my wife, what happened a few years ago, several years ago, was we had that. I'm not going to say, I'm going to try to going to try to tell or share the story with you, but not uncovering my wife. So having said that, I'm going to try very carefully here in what I say and how I say it. In our marriage, we did experience that. I experienced that with my wife where she was there are certain things that she was absolutely adamant about, and she did challenge me in certain areas of our marriage, of our children. And back in 2014, she did something that was just, I think that just kind of pushed me over the edge. So my story, let me couch this the right way. My story is really for the women, because the topic for this evening is the, really should be the virtuous wife, not the dripping wife. And so my story is within that context that I did have that with my wife. And for, I want to say for about almost a year and a half, I was very angry and upset with my wife, and I became very cold and distant to her. She did something, and I remember very clearly. It was 5 years ago, September 2014. I approached her in a conversation about a topic that we had discussed before, and she was very rude and very disrespectful, and completely shut down the conversation. And she did that in front of the children. Even if it were just the two of us, I don't think I think it would have still impacted me the same way. And I think there's a lot of men on this call who will probably hear this and say, yeah, I can see or I can understand that. So she shut down my idea, shut down the conversation, and that was it. I became so angry with her that for a little over a year, became cold, distant. We were not intimate. I was there physically, but emotionally, I was intentionally withholding. My anger, I'll have to come back and say some things about this because it'll bring it full circle and make sense. My anger, I allowed my anger to literally dictate and control everything that I did with my wife. Now my children and I, we have three girls, we were fine. But when it came to my wife and I, cold, distant, not interested in being intimate with her, didn't ask, didn't care. And I was that way for about a year and a half. And I do remember that during that time, she never figured it out either. She took me out. She took me out a couple of, date nights. And I know that she was trying to kind of, break through that wall that I put up. But she never came out and asked me directly what's going on. She always beat around the bush. I don't know, because there were a couple of other things in our marriage too, and I think some things in her past that contributed to where we are today. So I don't want to make a direct connection between that and where we are today, but I think that because of what she did, sent me down this road of cold, distant. And let me explain the extent of it. During that period of over a year where I was cold and distant with her, and intentionally, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me the whole time. The Holy Spirit, we still went to church. The Holy Spirit was speaking. There was one sermon where we had in church where, my wife and I are sitting together, kids are right next to us. And one sermon I remember where the preacher was saying, husbands, you have to go and talk to your wives and be unconditionally loving to them and this and that, and speaking to the husbands. And during the whole service, I was just angry. Like, in my heart and my mind, I was saying, nope, not going to do it. I hear you, not going to do it. Nope. And I really was just telling the Lord, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to. here's what she did, and it angers me, and I don't care. My attitude, my anger towards my wife during that period also, the Holy Spirit was saying, would come back and ask me different things and tell me different things. You know this is wrong. Yep, I know it's wrong, but I don't care. I don't care. And one time the Holy Spirit came and said, yeah, but, you know, what happens if she were to get so, what would happen if she, out of this, because of what you're doing, this would result in her filing for divorce? And during that period, my state of mind was such where I didn't care, and I said my response to the Holy Spirit was, I don't care. Let her file for divorce. I don't care. I really don't care. There were also times, and that's, the Holy Spirit approached me often, you know, a couple times a week, every week for over a year. There were times when I would allow my anger to boil up so strongly, so powerfully that there were times where I felt like I just want to go home, pack up my clothes, and leave. I just walk out. Now, mind you, been a Christian all my life. Grew up in the church. Family's a, you know, Christian. Everyone in my family is a Christian. You know, and here we are, married with kids, taking the kids to church, you know, every Sunday. We talk about God, you know, at home. We, you know, pray together. But this was my state of mind. So in sharing this story, the point of this is that for you women, you could see the power of your words. Men too, all you men who are on this call, same thing. But the scriptures in the Bible that Lisa Sophia mentioned tonight, you know, the Proverbs 27:15, the continual dripping of on a rainy day, and a contentious wife are alike. Proverbs 27:15. There's another one, Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in. It's better to live in a wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. You know what? And I'm not gonna put it all on the women. Men have probably more verses in the Bible speaking to us than God has about the woman. But tonight's subject is the woman, so forgive me if I go out too far on a limb here and share some of this with you. Bob Steinkamp from RMM Ministry, as you know, he mentions in his books that there were times where his wife Charlene would come home from work. She was a manager, and he would tell her, "Honey, leave your manager hat at work. Don't bring it home." Because she admits to it too that Charlene would come home from work, being a manager, being in charge of many people. She would, you know, direct and dictate and take charge. And my wife is similar. She has many people that she's responsible for at work. And so many times in our marriage, we've had the issue where, you know, I've told her repeatedly, "Babe, I'm not your employee. Don't treat me like that. Don't talk to me like that." So in marriage, for the wife and husband, that's very important. Zipping the lips for the wife is very important, but also submitting. And there's different ways, and I think maybe a different conference call for the wife, what that looks like for the wife to submit to the husband. It is not a doormat. It is not being run over. You know, wives were created to be equal to men, and you are equal to men. I've always treated my wife like my equal, my partner, my other half. But men and women are designed, God, and I've heard this repeatedly from wiser Christian men than myself, where they've said over and over again, God created women to respond to men's unconditional love. And God created men to respond to women's submissive hearts. And so when we do that, when us men do that with our wives, unconditionally love them as we love ourselves, women are, it's in your DNA. You respond
you respond with that heart of submission. I'll share a real quick story I heard during my stand over the last 2 years. I heard a story where there's this, and it's a true story. There's a woman who was, as a young girl, she was always very domineering and very aggressive. And every boyfriend that she's ever had the relationships ended very quickly. And most of the time, the men left. Then one day, she came across this one man who unconditionally loved her, lavished her with love. True story. She married the guy. And somebody asked her a couple of years after getting married, I don't get it. They asked her, they said, I don't get it. How can you have been married to this guy because you're this way and you're aggressive and domineering but with your husband, you're not. Of all the men in your life, you're that way. But with your husband, you're a whole different woman. And they said, I don't get it. It's one of her friends who asked her. And she said, because my husband loves me. And loves me so much that I cannot help myself but want to be submissive to him. And I let him, and I want him to take the lead. Again, true story that I read in one of my, I don't know, marriage books a couple of years ago. But that shows the power of unconditional love of men towards women, and then also women, what happens when you respond in that submissive spirit. Again, there's what that looks like. I know some of you women might have questions about that, what that looks like. Sophia and Lisa, maybe we could do that some other time. But that's my story that Lisa and Sophia asked me to share, so I shared it with you because during that year, a little over a year period, I didn't care. Finally, God brought me to certain physical issues to me where for 4 to 6 months, because I was being rebellious, the Lord brought, I ended up having, and this is bizarre, but I had some weird thing happen in my my neck, in my vertebrae and spine. And I had shooting pain going down my left arm like it was on fire. The Lord used that physical pain and the anomaly, because it hasn't come back since 2016. But January 2016, finally, God brought me to a breaking point where one evening in bed, as we were getting ready to go to bed and my wife's walking around getting ready to go to bed, I finally broke down and I told my wife, I said, I'm sorry, I owe you a great apology because I was cold and distant and angry and bitter with you for, a little over a year. And I told her, I said, here's the reason why. And I told her what the reason why, and I apologized. And she forgave me. And then, we kind of limped forward from there. We never kind of really recovered from that, that period. And then other things entered into, Satan will never waste an opportunity, I guarantee you. If you give an opportunity, he'll take it. He'll expand on that and bring other junk into that open door opportunity to destroy the marriage. So for us, me and my wife, I don't think we fully recovered from that. And then Satan brought other junk into my wife's heart and our marriage and my wife's heart, which then a year and a half later brought her to the point of filing for divorce. So we have to be careful. I'm speaking to men and women, men and wives. We have to be careful because the smallest things can create an opportunity and a foothold for our enemy. And he could use the husband, he could use the wife, he could use any of us to open that door and bring in death and destruction of our marriage. So we have to be really careful about that. It could be anything. And it could bounce back and forth. It could bounce back and forth between husband and wife, wife and husband, until he achieves his purpose, which is, you know, divorce. So I hope that that helps, and that that helps some of you women understand the power of what you say to the man. It's critical. It really is. Okay, so any questions, comments, feedback?
Other men?
anybody. The men, the women.
Yeah, sure.
Nope. Okay, fire away.
Actually, my story pretty much mirrors yours, Chris. There are obviously differences. I think the pinnacle moment for me was the same for you. She had said something to me that cut really deep. And I can't say I was completely angry with her. I think I was just more demoralized by it, because it just, I don't know, it just pushed me down into a place where it was really hard to recover from. But anyways, I think now, like, our communication is probably next to nothing, but when she does contact me, I think I just go back to where I've forgiven her. It was some scripture that I was reading one day, and, you know, where Jesus is crying out, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
And I kind of realized, you know, that's real love and forgiveness right there. You know, Jesus is on the cross, and he's crying out to his Father, you know, forgive them. And I think that was pinnacle for me. From that day on, I forgave my wife. And I think, you know, going ahead up to this day, any sort of communications we've had, she meets me with a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness. Her heart's pretty hard. But I always meet her with love, you know. I might not be saying I love you, but it's, you know, I'm just meeting her with Christ's love. And she doesn't really know how to respond to that, so it's, I don't know. But really all I have
to do. That's the biblical way to respond to her, and I'll tell you, if she's having a hard time responding, or it confuses her, that's good, because the confusion means that she knows in her heart that she also needs to forgive you. Anytime a spouse is not confused, then that's when we need to pray more, because the confusion really is because you've got the Holy Spirit speaking to her, and you've got Satan, our enemy, speaking to her, or our spouse, as our prodigal spouse. So that's where the confusion comes from. When there's that confusion, there's that, I'm not sure what to do, you see them behaving weird, in a weird, unusual way, that's the spiritual warfare that we are witnessing. If we didn't see any of that, then that's, you know, that's what we should be praying more, because, you know, we're not seeing that. But, you know, rest assured, the Lord's hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. Tons of scripture on that, so I'm not going to go into it for tonight. But any other comments or questions or anything to share?
If I could, I'd like to add a little bit more. Like, she
sure, go ahead.
She she has said to me that she's done, she's made her decision, and confusing statements. Well, it would be confusing to me, like she said, you know, I have a problem with divorce, but if I need to prove it to you, I'll just go ahead and do it, and so on and so forth. And but it, yeah, like there seems to be a lot of confusion, you know, just by her statements alone. So it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever statements she's making to you, those are straight out of Satan's playbook. When a prodigal goes down that road, once they've given into one lie and deception of our enemy about husband or wife or marriage, once they've given into the first lie, then a second one is easier and the third one's even easier. And next thing you know is that the prodigal is traveling one step in front of the other, traveling down that path of divorce, which I call the path of death and destruction. And Proverbs talks about that. So they end up in the pig pen. So don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed if you're hearing your prodigal husband or wife making those statements, I'm never coming back, I'm done, I'm over it, I'm moving on. There's not one statement that your spouse could make that we have not heard already from the, you know, restored marriage testimonials and others who, the restored marriage testimonials, they all say they've heard exactly the same thing. And they've heard the same themes from their spouses. Bob, in one of his books, mentions that, you know, they've heard it all too, because they've been doing this for 20, 30 years, their ministry. Bob Steinkamp says that, I love one of his phrases when he puts in his, one of his books, he says that, he says, time and time again, they've seen it many times, him and Charlene, where in the morning, on any given day, a spouse will say, I'm never coming home, we're done, I'm moving on, you should move on too. And by that afternoon, the spouse was back home. Just, you know, in one day.
Praise Jesus.
It happens. Mm-hmm. When God moves, God might take his time to do what he needs to do, but when God moves, it's a suddenly, like it's done. We might have to wait for the Lord, and you know, we think that, you know, the Lord's taking a long time to do what he's doing. It's when he's ready to move, he moves immediately, and it happens literally overnight. I've read many testimonials, you know, those similar things. Okay, I think I'm belaboring this a little bit, but don't be alarmed by the things you're hearing your spouse say. That's our enemy speaking. It's not the spouse and what they really feel, because many of those husbands, wives who have come home, many of them will say, I've always loved you and never stopped loving you. You know, and then when they try to account or justify the things that they said, some of them will say, I don't remember saying any of those things. Or others will say, yeah, well, I was angry or bitter or whatever. So I said those things, but they were all lies. When I said I didn't love you anymore, I'm never coming back, those were all lies. So they either won't remember or they will admit that they were lies, because that's not really what they were feeling inside. So, great resources on RMM website, the books they have. If you have not purchased some of those books, The Prodigal's Perspective, Prodigals Do Come Home, those are the two top ones that I would recommend. Buy them and read them. They're very quick reads. You can read them in a day or two. But, wow, they are so powerful with information on how to stand and what's really going on with the spouse who's left. It's, once you understand, it makes the stand so much easier, because now you know what's going on with them. You know that the inner struggle between, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to them and Satan speaking to them. And I will guarantee you, the Lord's not going to quit. God doesn't quit on people. God had his finger on your husband and your wife long before you were even born. So if God had it in his mind for your husband, your wife, to be saved and restored before you were born, what are you worrying about? God has a specific task for us to do while we're standing and pray for our spouses and believe and stand the way God wants us to, but let God do the rest, because only God can do that. God touches the heart, the husband and wife comes back. That by afternoon, it's done. Okay, sorry, we went off on tangents there. It's my fault. Lisa, I know it's my fault. Lisa likes to blame me because I always do this. Any other comments or feedback or about our topic for tonight, which is, we probably should have one of these for men, which I should probably work on, but any other women or husbands who want to speak about the topic for tonight, about the women and the wives, and you know, do you see anything here that between all the way that was said and shared that you could relate to or you could understand, or maybe you understand a little bit better now of what happened and what's going on?
Chris, I want to share December 29th, I woke up that morning to your what you're just saying. I'm a testimony to what you're saying. I woke up that morning with the intentions on moving to Atlanta, Georgia. I spent the entire day with my mother looking for schools for my daughter to attend. Meanwhile, my husband is living, or my ex, whatever you want to say, he's living in Arizona. And so I woke up that morning, and I'm looking for schools. I've spent the whole day with her looking for schools. I pick up my daughter from the airport. She had spent a week with her dad. And that, when I'm sitting in the car with her, that was his suddenly, because at that point I was a prodigal, and I changed instantly from moving to Atlanta to moving to Arizona. It happened instantly, just like what you're describing. And the changing point that I was a very contentious, challenging, rebellious. I demoralized my husband. I stripped him of his manhood. I was it. It's in the Bible. If you look it up in the dictionary, you're going to probably see my picture, because I was all of those things that we are talking about tonight. I was that person. One reason I was that person is just I had allowed the enemy to really build up a hold in me where I didn't think this man even loved me. But what God did, my turning point from becoming or being the contentious wife to being the submissive wife, because I became submissive overnight. Just in that moment, I became submissive, was because God took the scales from my eyes and allowed me to see for the first time that this man loved me. And I'm saying this because the love of a man is so important. So if you don't think your wife loves you, or you're not seeing her love come to you, it's because the enemy has blinded her. Mm-hmm. The best prayer you can pray at this point is, Father, open her eyes. Open her eyes. I say that to the men on this call, because when my eyes came open, I couldn't get back to Arizona fast enough. Now, I've been standing now for a year plus, year and a half or so, but at that time, I went from the prodigal to the stander just in an instant, suddenly. There's a scripture in Genesis, and I'm sure you all are familiar with it, with Hagar and her son Ishmael. When God heard the cry of Ishmael, and he opened up Hagar's eyes, and she saw provision for her and her son. My daughter had been praying, long before I was praying, for a whole family. I, to this day, believe God heard her prayers, the prayers from her heart. He heard her cry for a whole family, and that's what caused him to open up my eyes so that I could see. So I can't say it. That's what I wanted to share. That was my turning moment from becoming the unsubmissive, rebellious wife to the submissive, woman standing for her marriage?
If you were to do a search in the Bible, and it, I guess it depends on which version you look through, but if you were to, and I'm quoting the New King James Version, there are over 100, probably 150 instances where the Lord moved, and he moved suddenly. And I love that. For me, and I know some of you, that speaks volumes, because the Lord will intentionally make us wait for certain things to line up. But when God's ready, he moves suddenly. I could spend another hour talking about, this kind of stuff, but there is, our God is so good and so gracious, he loves to talk to us, and he speaks to each and every one of us every single day. If we're in tune with him, we're hearing him. If we're not in tune with him, if we're not on the right frequency with him, we're not hearing him. But he's speaking. He's speaking volumes every day. And he's telling us over and over again, walk with me, and I'm going to lead you into the restoration of your marriage. Period. Period. Fear not. There's over 365 fear nots in the Bible. Don't fear this, don't fear that. So God has given us everything we need to stand and walk walk in faith for the restoration of our marriage. With God, there's no such thing as, well, maybe God will do it. There's no maybe. Ask. It will be done for you. Period. God hates divorce. Period. We know his character and his attitude towards divorce and towards marriage, and we know his promises that if we're his children, if we ask, seek, and knock, he'll do all of those. We'll receive, it'll be open to us, and we'll find what we're looking for. If we ask anything in his name, according to his will and his purpose, he will do it. We know his purpose. We know his purposes for marriage. We know he wants to restore. We know. And if we stand on those promises, he's going to do it. I tell certain people, look, if you walk with the Lord during the stand, you are guaranteed to get your husband and your wife back. Period. Guaranteed. That's a strong word. Guaranteed. A lot of times I say, well, God's not answering my prayer. We're not talking about just any other prayer. When I first started my stand 2 years ago, I went and talked to people at church and called old friends from my old church back in California. They, 99% of them, 99% of them told me things that were unbiblical in terms of my marriage. And as I started reading the Bible and discovering things about the promises of marriage, are unique to all the other promises in the Bible. God's attitude towards marriage and his desire to restore and bless the marriage are quite unique and different from all the others in the Bible. So when we go to God and ask, hey, if you're going to ask for $1 million, you may or may not get that. If you're asking for the perfect job or a perfect career, you may or may not get that. If you're asking for the perfect house or the perfect car or, whatever, you may or may not get that. That's according to God's will. But when it comes to marriage, it's such a specific thing, and it's the first institution that God created. It's Genesis chapter 2. As soon as God created woman, Eve, the first thing he declared is the institution of marriage. First thing, he created it, he stands by it, he wants, and he uses that not only as a reflection of Jesus' relationship with us as Jesus and the bride or Jesus and the church, but he works through marriage in so many different ways. The more you learn about the purpose of God creating marriage, the more you'll understand he wants your marriage restored more than you do. More than you do, because it serves 100 different purposes, and all of them are for his glory, not yours, not mine, not for our joy and our, and we lived happily ever after. It's not about that. So
I love this, and I'll tell you why I love this and I get passionate about this, because the more I find out his purpose for marriage, the more it takes the burden off my shoulders of, like, somehow I have to wish harder or pray harder. Or somehow, you know, I have to be more perfect. Or, I mean, yeah, there's principles that God wants husbands and wives to follow, where we come into partnership with God, co-labor with God in the restoration of our marriage. I mean, if you're going to run off and start, you know, dating and having an affairs, you're standing against God in the thing that God wants you to do. If you're not zipping the lips, you're not being unconditionally loving, if you're doing things contrary to what you know God wants you to do and explicitly stated in the Bible, guess what? You're telling God, no, I don't want my restoration, because your actions and your words are not matching up. So if you want it in your heart, let your actions match those and seek to follow God, walk with God during this journey. It doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. You will make mistakes. We all do. God's already taken that into account.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, God wants your heart. When you give God your heart and say, Lord, you are first, my marriage, my spouse is second, but I know you're going to do it because I know you want to do it, but let me focus everything on you. So instead of focusing all of our attention and emotions and feelings throughout the day by day, on our marriage and our spouse and when are they coming home, and if we redirect all of that energy towards God and our relationship with God, oh my goodness, you know what? I believe that God shortens that time period and says, now you're ready, I'm bringing your spouse home. Because he wants to do it more than you and I want to do it, because it serves his purposes for his glory, that his name is not profaned, and that all people who witness him bringing your spouse back and restoring your marriage, that they would come to fear the Lord. That's why he does that. Jesus didn't perform miracles when he was walking around during his ministry of 3 years. He didn't perform miracles just for the sake of performing miracles. He performed them to glorify God, to also demonstrate to people, look, I'm not doing it just to show you that I have power. I'm doing it to show you that I am my Father's son, and I came with a good message of salvation, of grace, that, you know, trust in me, and I will give you everything you need. So it's what we want to get is not the restoration. What we want to get is God. If we get God, restoration is part of getting God. But if we're seeking after restoration and putting God second or on the sideline, we're never going to get it. It's like the person is pursuing wealth. You'll never get wealth if you're chasing it. But if you're pursuing something that you're passionate about and you do it with all your strength and your energy, wealth follows that. It's a byproduct. So it's the same principle with God, and God tells us that. So seek God and his kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. He tells us the secret. He says, do this, and I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you everything you ask for. I'll give you the secret desires of your heart, but seek me first. So I'm telling you again, not my words, but if you look at the Bible and you really search these scriptures out, you will find time and time and time and time and time again, God says, come over to with me, walk with me, seek me first, put me first in your life, and watch what I do. I'm going to bring your spouse back home. I'm going to not only bring your spouse back home and heal your marriage, I'm going to make it 10 times better than what it ever was. I'm going to make it exceedingly abundantly more than what you even thought and imagined. And there are tons of testimonials out there of restored marriages where the husband coming back home or the wife coming back home, they say, the standing husband or the wife who's been standing for their marriage, whether it's been, you know, 3 months or 3 years or 10 years, when the spouse comes back home, the standing husband or wife says, it was all worth it. Everything I had to go through, all the pain, all the prayers, the fasting, the seeking God, the dying to my flesh and crucifying my flesh on the cross and seeking God with everything I had. It was all worth it, because now that my marriage is restored, it is better than what it ever was before. It is better than what I ever even imagined. God guarantees us he will do it, because he wants to. And the only way we're not going to get our marriage restored is if we're standing against God and against what he wants to do, what he's willing to do, able to do. Jesus Christ died on the cross to do that. And I say that, Jesus died on the cross, because when Jesus died on the cross, he gave us the victory at the cross. And that's the victory he gives us, because we belong to Jesus Christ. We are God's sons and daughters, adopted into the family, and heirs to the throne with Jesus Christ. And Jesus has given us everything. Look up Corinthians and Galatians, Ephesians. Look up those books and read those. Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom. We have that. When I'm on the prayer wall and I put posts up there that you know, the victory is ours, it's a foregone conclusion. It's done. It is finished. All we have to do is put on the armor and stand. Wow, I just realized I really went down a... Sorry? I hogged the floor. Lisa, sorry. Everyone, I'm sorry. I went into my thing here. Okay. I'm gonna put one of these together for men. I think maybe next Thursday, Lord willing. But I think men need one of these too. I think it's more for men. So, you wives who are standing for your marriages, I hope you are blessed by this. Men, you're not off the hook. I'm coming back at you guys in the next week or two. Okay.
Looking forward.
Only because I love you guys. Only because I love you guys. And look, let me just share this a mini testimonial for myself. In the last 6 months, I have seen my own wife who every time she needs something from me or wants something from me, she approaches me, and she does this in front of the kids too. She will approach me with meekness and humility and more respect than I have ever seen her in the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. She approaches me asking me very respectfully, for this or for that, help with this and help with that. And over the last week, even just this week, I've seen her heart. She shares, you know, things from her heart now a little bit too. So God's working. God's working on you know, my wife. And I know it's my suddenly is on its way. It's already forecast. It's already on schedule. It's on the books. It could be today, tomorrow, next week, but it's definitely going to happen. My suddenly. I'm waiting. But anyway,
Amen.
So men, be ready. Next week or two, we're going to do one of these sessions for men, and men unconditionally loving the spouses, and not to be angry men, and there's more, but that was just a tidbit. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lisa, I am done. I'm giving it back to you.
Hey, can I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
Chris, I'm very happy
yes.
that you went on, because it answered a lot of questions that I was pondering today and in conversation with a friend of mine. You've set me straight. Thanks, brother.
Amen.
Actually, Chris, if you don't mind me jumping in too.
Sure.
I think one thing I've noticed predominantly with the standards is the constant struggle with, as you had mentioned, the constant struggle with putting all your energy and emotion into missing your spouse and wanting to be with them and just wanting them to communicate or getting something positive out of it. As far as, it's just as Jason had just mentioned, it's crazy how you touched upon that, because I believe the Holy Spirit has been conveying that, but as far as really just focusing on God and putting him first, you kind of let everything fall into place. But what would your advice be, or what do you have to say about taking the steps to focus on God and kind of without completely letting go of your spouse, but I guess letting go in a sense and giving it to God?
Okay, so that's always a tricky one because that question comes up often. What does it mean to let go and let God, and what does that look like? What it doesn't look like is we don't walk away. Letting go of your spouse doesn't mean you let go of the marriage and just walk away like, okay, I'm going to go and do my own thing, and whenever God is ready or whenever God wants to, he'll bring the wife back home. You've heard me say, or the husband, by the way, you've heard me say that this evening, God wants us to co-labor with him and co-partner with him. There's things that God wants us to do. Whether you're a husband standing for your wife or you're a standing wife standing for your husband, unconditional love is universal amongst all Christians.
Right.
So we love, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love, how many times do we forgive our brother? 77 times 7. Well, who's my neighbor? Who's my brother? Everybody. And at the top of that list of everybody is your spouse. So if you're not sure what unconditional love looks like, go to 1 Corinthians 13. It spells it out. Patient, forgiving, kind, gentle, not keeping a record of wrongs, et cetera, et cetera. Go look it up. God is so awesome, he itemizes it for you, for me, for all of us. And, you know, I mean, it's a great thing to take 1 Corinthians 13 and love is. Look at all those. I don't know how many there are, 8 to 10. But if you look at all of those and you just meditate, take one a day and meditate on each one, look up the definition in a dictionary. Look up the definition so you get the full breadth and width and understanding of what that word means. What does kindness mean, and what does that look like, and envision yourself practicing and exercising kindness with your spouse when the opportunity comes up. And then take the next one, you know, patient, long-suffering, not keeping a record of wrong. Take one of those words, one each day, and then examine what it is, examine your heart, and see, and then in your mind, see how that could play out between you and your spouse every time you have contact with them. So that's the first step, because that's what God wants us to do. The other thing is that the letting go part is you let go of trying to, and I'm going to be as specific as I can. It's very simple. The letting go is you let go of all attempts to try to manipulate your marriage, your spouse, into coming back home. You are not manipulating the situation in any way. You're not trying to get them to fall in love with you. You're not trying to get them to manipulate them some way to come back home or pressure them or use the legal system if you're going through divorce or if you've already gone through it and there's divorce decrees and there's kids involved. And don't use anything as leverage like, well, I'm going to get even. Wrong. That goes against everything God wants you to do. So defending yourself, if you're going through a divorce, defending yourself is one thing, but you don't throw your spouse under the bus. You never speak badly about your spouse, especially to your children. If anything, lift up your spouse to your children in prayer. You explain if your children, and this is a great, if you still have children at home, even if they're not at home, doesn't matter. If you have children, use this opportunity to minister to your children and tell them the purpose and the reason why you're standing for your marriage, what the Bible says. Minister to your I've done that with my girls. There's a whole testimony I could share with you guys about that, what God has done with them in their lives and my relationship with my three girls. But use this as an opportunity to minister to your children about what God says, and then not only that, but let them see your stand for your marriage and your walk of faith in your marriage, standing for your marriage, standing for your prodigal during this period. Because the greatest testimony of who God is in your life
is you right now in this moment, how you stand and what you say to your kids and everyone else, friends, neighbors, extended family members, everybody around you. Everything that you say and everything that you do is being watched and observed by first your kids and then everybody else. So the greatest testimony on the other side of this, your kids are watching. Do you really believe God? Do you really believe the Bible? Because if you really do, your actions are going to match that. Words are cheap. Actions speak louder than words. So if you're not there, then pray. So the other thing is this. We, in the physical, we let go of trying to manipulate our marriages, our spouses, into coming back home. We don't need guilt trips. We don't track them and see what they're doing. We give them their space. We respect if they've moved out. We respect that. We don't try to track them down and follow them, drive by their places. My wife bought a new house, and it's literally across the street from the high school. And this next coming year, school year, all three of our girls are going to be in school. So every time I go to drop off or pick up the kids, I drive by her house. And when I do, I literally, I know this is going to sound stupid, but this is what I do. I take my hand and I put it up. I cut my face, my eyes, so I don't accidentally look at her house, because I don't want to know who's there, what they're there for, what's going on. I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Because the less that I know, the better. The less that I know what my wife is doing right now, the less opportunities that the Satan, our enemy, has to use that to put fear, doubt, worry, concern into my mind, worrying against me. He's going to use that against me. So I'm not going to give him the ammunition that he wants to use. He's going to use that if I give him the opportunity. You know what? Screw you, devil. You're not getting that. I'm not going to give you the privilege and the honor of showing me something I should not see, don't want to see, so you could use it against me to torment me with what if this, what if she's seeing someone, what if she's involved, what if this, what if that. You know what? I'm not playing that game. I'm not playing that game. So the other thing is we stop. Let go. Let God deal with all that junk. If God wants you to know something, believe me, Satan's going to want you to know everything that he or she is doing. And God's going to try to protect you from that. But if God allows you to see or hear something, you take that to the Lord. So here's how we do battle. What we do is we pray, and we seek the Lord, and we fast as the Lord, as the Holy Spirit calls you to fast. You pray and you fast, and you read the Bible, draw yourself closer to the Lord. Because, again, this is about you and the Lord right now. He wants one-on-one time with you. He wants your heart. The only way you can give him your heart and establish that relationship is spending time with him. That's it. In the Word, in prayer, and in the secret place. Psalm 91, the secret place. The first verse starts out with, you know, the secret place, spending time with the Lord. When we do that, God takes care of everything else. So when we are around our spouses, we're always unconditionally loving, and we zip the lips. Men, you got to zip the lips too. Zip the lips applies to men as well. So in the flesh, we leave them alone. When we encounter them in any way, unconditionally loving them, when we speak about them to kids, family, neighbors, anyone else, it's with unconditional love. Always, always, always about our spouses. If you've got complaints, if you've got, you know, stuff going on that you don't like, whatever complaints you have, whatever hurt you have, there's a Psalm 91, 1. Take it to the Lord. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the secret place. That's where you take everything. You take that to the Lord, because only the Lord can do something about it, because whining and complaining to everyone else in the world is not going to work. And all you're doing is you're uncovering your spouse's sin and iniquity, and that's not what God wants you to do. So that's the letting go, is we don't try to manipulate our spouses to come back home to our marriage. We let that go, but we battle fiercely in prayer, in fasting, in that private place with the Lord. That's where the battle is won, because we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against princes and principalities. You guys know that scripture too, and if you don't,
Look it up. That's how we do battle, and that's how we let go and let God. God has to touch. Bob talks about this in his books. God, don't pray for God to bring your spouse home before you pray for God to touch your spouse's heart. Get that in order. Number one, Lord, touch our hearts. I think Sophia or Lisa, one of you mentioned that tonight. Lord, touch their heart, turn their heart back towards you, and then bring them back home. But that's our number one priority, because we don't want false starts too. We don't want them coming home, and then we're not zipping the lips, and you know they've been manipulated to come home, and then you know 2 weeks later they packed up the bags and left again, or 6 months later they've left again, and this time they're filing for a divorce if they haven't already. So, you know, follow God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Submit yourself to God. That's how we let go and let God do it. We let go in one way, but we don't let go in another way. Pray fiercely. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails him much. That's where you do all the battle. And you crank up the heat. Like if you have to pray 3 times a day, you do it. You do it. You do as much as you feel necessary and called by the Holy Spirit. If you need to pray and fast, do it. You need to pray one day, pray and fast 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, 21 days. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Okay. Hi, I rambled on again. Sorry. Go ahead. Did I answer your question?
You did. Thank you, Chris. That's perfect.
Okay. Anybody else? We are way over time, and I'm sorry, it's completely my fault.
That is your fault totally, Chris. And did anybody else hear Chris say, screw the devil, or is it just me?
Yes.
No, I said that.
Yeah. Yeah, screw the devil.
Oh, boy. Chris, did you have any other announcements you want to give tonight about any some of the future or what we're hoping to have in the upcoming weeks or maybe even this weekend, or you want to just kind of hold that?
Okay, so for the yes, thank you, Lisa. Three things. I am trying to pull together a special conference call for this Sunday, which we might be able to do it. And women, you're welcome to join too. But because it's Father's Day this Sunday, I have a friend who is part of a different marriage restoration ministry, and he leads up the men's section, and his marriage is restored. And he was a prodigal turned stander, and then God healed his marriage. So his name is Patrick. I've shared his written testimony actually on the website, praisereports.org. His testimonial is there, and his wife's testimony is there as well. I've asked him if he could make a special, carve out a special time this Sunday, this coming Sunday, to do, and he's in Australia, by the way, so we're 12 hours difference. We're trying to figure out how we could do that logistically with the time zones, but this Sunday we might do a special Father's Day conference call, have him on the call, so you guys can speak directly to a man who was a prodigal, turned stander, God restored his marriage. I think they've been restored for several years now, thriving and doing great. So that's for this Sunday. Stay tuned. I will send out emails to those who I have email addresses to, and then I'll post it on the prayer wall. In the next week or two, I'm going to do a session similar to what Sophia and Lisa did tonight, where I will do it for men and men standing for their marriages and what that would look like. Women, you're more than welcome to join, because you're always going to glean something from this, because it's all God's word. And then in August, today I found out that we're trying to get another couple who's been restored, and they have their own ministry. Jeff and Cheryl Scruggs
And they're also on the website. Their testimonials are on the website. They have YouTube videos. They have a book that they put out, I Do Again. We're getting closer to getting them to come and do a conference call with us, and I think that's going to happen in August. They emailed me today that they could do in August, not July. So we're waiting. So we're waiting another month or so. So those are the three things that are coming up potentially that we're working on. But stay tuned for this Sunday, special Father's Day. Okay, and that's it.
Does anyone have another topic also that you all would like us to cover on one of these Thursday calls? If anything comes to mind right now, you're like, oh, I wish they would talk about this.
How about if your prodigal remarries?
Okay. We'll put that down for if the prodigal remarries. Okay. Anybody else have anything else? That's a good one, by the way.
Thank you.
Because that would be the focus of that particular call. Along with that would go with them having another person in their life, living with them, or so that be other man or other woman. So we'll hit all three of those. And if you think of something and you're like, man, I really wish they would cover this topic, you just don't want to say it right now, you know how to reach Chris. He's all over RMM. and just let us know. Chris, we can close out. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, how about no communication and no possibility of inviting them over because they live in another state with the other person?
That's easy. Oh, yeah.
That kind of goes with if they remarry, too.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
I think communication is one we hear a lot of times on the wall as well. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him. Shoot. I'm trying to avoid mine right now. Y'all want to talk to him. I'm just like, it's easy to have a quiet and gentle spirit if I don't have to see you sometimes. So, but okay.
How about free will? Free will, maybe, I think. I know it's talked about a lot, but free will,
what
it's talked about a lot, I know. Free will, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know it's talked about a lot, but not really in depth. Like, I know I heard somebody say that God couldn't even save a third of the angels, so, you know.
And free will
things
comes
like
up
that.
A lot. That's one of the things they throw in at us all the time. So,
yeah.
Yes, I think that deserves some more attention.
Okay.
So continue,
anybody
ladies.
Else?
I encourage you to continue praying that your husband will, God will raise him up to be the spiritual leader of your family. Because we, as Chris was saying tonight, we want to seek God first in his kingdom. And if you're asking God to do that for your husband, that's what I did. And one day my prayer became very specific. And ever since then, I have noticed that his countenance has changed. And so I'm like Chris. I think the suddenly is around the corner.
Amen.
The person's going to get tired of no longer having him complain about me. There's nothing to complain about anymore. But I'm too nice. So, to the men, once again, I encourage you to pray that God will touch your wife's heart and open up her eyes so she can truly see his love for her and your love for her. Because we women act out when we think we're not loved. I think we're ready for our closing prayer. Is there a man that wants to cover us in prayer tonight? You men don't want to get up and cover us in prayer?
Oh, I'll close out in prayer.
Do you all know, wait a minute, do you all know that when you give to others, that's when God blesses you? The more you give and do for someone else what you want to have done for you, that's how God, that moves the heart of God. Chris prays all the time. I need a man to step up and pray.
By the way, Lisa, we don't want to forget that we want to speak life.
Amen.
We want to be careful what we're speaking, because if we are praying and asking God to touch our spouse's hearts, bring them back home, restore our marriage, and then we go out and we broadcast all the
what
things
they're doing
here that mm-hmm. our spouses are doing or they're saying, or we are complaining about this and about that and about this and about that.
We're not covering
it
in love.
We're kind of undoing what we're praying about. Like, you know, mm-hmm. one side of our mouth we're praying for God to restore, and out of the other side of our mouth we're tearing everything down. So, you know, we need to be careful, because God gave us that power. God gave us prayer because our prayers work. So if our prayers to God work, that also means that what comes out of our mouth has the power to either build up or tear down. So if we're building up and we're speaking life and restoration to our spouses, our marriage, our families, our children, and then we're whining and complaining and broadcasting everything they're doing, we're building up and tearing down at the same time, and then we're wondering why we're not seeing movement moving forward. And that's not the heart that God wants us to have. And that's not mm-hmm. the unconditional love that God wants us to have. Mm-hmm. So we need to, you know, zip our lips, even with what we see our spouses doing or saying, just, you know, and I'm sorry, you guys, we see that on the prayer wall a lot, where, you know, there's times where I don't want to go to a prayer wall and read some of the stuff, because it's just, you know, more about what the spouse is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, do we not have the same Bible the where God says, I am your provider, I will provide for everything that you need. I know what you need before you even come and ask me in prayer. Why do we look to our spouses for this and for that? Did we not read the scripture in there where it says, for I am your maker and I am your husband right now. Everything mm-hmm. Men, the same to you and me. The same, God is, when God is our husband, he takes care of everything that we need. So men, when we need we need anything emotionally, we need whatever we need as men, God will take care of that for us too. And the Holy Spirit is our friend. And when we became saved as Christians, God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit. And he is our friend and our companion. So even in this time, when we need something, God has everything. And I know it sounds bizarre and awkward to hear, for a man to hear this, but as a husband provides for the wife, right now God provides for us men everything that we need. Friendship, companionship, everything. Every emotional need that we have, God will provide. We don't need to go and complain and whine to anybody else other than just take all of our worries and concerns to the Lord. That's what he says. Take everything to the Lord in prayer, and he will take care of everything. Because
Amen.
I'm telling you, we can delay and delay and delay our restoration, because what's supposed to take us 3 weeks to get to the promised land took us 40 years. 40.
Mm-hmm.
40 years. I don't want to be stuck. And if I don't want this, I don't want this for you guys either. Guys, women, don't do this, because you're only hurting yourself. Don't do the whining and the complaining. And don't do it to anybody. Don't do it. Go to your prayer closet and give all your whining and complaints and whatever hurts and pains to the Lord. That's where he wants it. That's the proper place. Because if we're whining and complaining to the Lord, that's what, go back and read the story with the Israelites. And God performed all those great miracles. Part of the Red Sea, and they walked on dry land. And as soon as they got to the other side, they started whining and complaining. And God got angry with them. Don't make God angry with you. Don't do it.
God is our husband, and he's our maker. He's our husband right now in this season. Men, women, God is our husband. In other words, he's going to provide everything that we need. Lean on him. Trust in him. He knows your needs. He knows your needs before you know them. He's given you promises. Stand on those. Look to him. Don't look to your husband or to your wife to provide anything that you need. Because the quickest way from where we are here to quitting on our stand and walking away is whining and complaining, delaying our restoration, allowing God to touch our hearts and heal our hearts. And then we walk around like wounded victims day in and day out, woe is me, blah, 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 my wife this, my husband that, blah, blah, blah. And then we're wondering, but God, you said you're going to do all of this. It's like, yeah, I'm kind of waiting for you. Okay, so I'm passionate about this because when I see people on the prayer wall, like, that's it. My husband, I just found out my husband did this, and I'm quitting my stand. I'm filing for divorce. Just last week, somebody on the prayer wall did exactly that. Mm-hmm. I just found out, blah, blah, blah. I'm done. I've had it. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm filing for divorce and divorcing him. And it burns, and I don't get mad at those people. I get mad at our enemy because they've allowed, that enemy has pounded and pounded and pounded that person, that stander. Guys, our enemy doesn't take a break. Our enemy attacks us when we're awake. Our enemy attacks us when we're asleep. Do you not think there's a reason why we're told in the New Testament by the disciples, go to the Lord every single day. Renew your mind daily in the Word of God. If we don't renew our minds every single day, so our minds, our brains change their perspective. So we look to God, start thinking the way God thinks, start understanding God's wisdom and discernment. And when we do that, we reach a point where we say, I know God's bringing my wife back home or my husband back. God, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to do it. And I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm not worried or stressed or frustrated. And I could speak love to my wife or my husband because I know the horrible situations that they're in. Instead of praying about them, you're praying for them, and there's a difference. Here's the prayer of a prayer about them. Oh, Lord, I just found out my husband is having an affair, and I'm worried, and I'm freaked out in my heart. I'm just devastated. That's the prayer of being a victim by what our enemy has done. That's a victim's prayer. Here's a victory prayer to the Lord in faith. Lord, I thank you for revealing to me that my wife is involved with somebody else, because it only shows me the condition of their hearts, that they're so lost that they don't know what they're doing. They're so lost and so hurt and in so much pain and so much confusion by our enemy. Father, thank you for revealing to me that they're doing this and they're doing that, so I can pray for those things about them. Father, cover her. Cover her with your grace and your mercy, and forgive her, for she doesn't know what she's doing, Father. And through me, show her your unconditional love so she might repent and see your love, Father. She might repent and turn from her wicked ways and come back towards you, Father, so she might experience your grace and your mercy. Through me, use me as your hand, your feet. Use my mouth to speak your love and your forgiveness and your mercy towards her, because love and grace and mercy is what draws her to you. And if she turns her heart towards you, she's coming home tomorrow. Do you see the difference between praying for them and praying about them and because of them? One's out of fear and desperation. The other one's covering them in love and blessing them. Wow, I'm so sorry.
Hey, Craig.
I went off on another one. Yeah, I'm so sorry. This was supposed to be an hour, and we're here on an hour, 2 hours. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I appreciate it. I appreciate your passion. God bless you, brother.
We do too, Chris.
Thank you.
We do too.
Yes.
Okay. If let's close on prayer, because I don't want to keep you guys here longer. I know Lisa's just beside herself because it's like, we told them 1 hour and here we are 2 hours. Okay. Lisa, can I close out prayer? Are we good? Are we ready?
You can go 2 hours every week, Chris.
Okay. All right.
Oh, boy.
Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be warriors on the wall, standing guard, standing over our marriages, over our spouses, over our children, our families. Thank you, Father, for the honor and the privilege to be the shining light on the hill, Father, of your word, your truth, your gospel, not only in our life so we could draw ourselves closer to you, but, Father, so you could also, through us, show others who you are, Father, that you might be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. Father, we thank you for strengthening us and encouraging us, giving us your words of wisdom and discernment, giving us your power, Father. But above all of that, Father, you've already given us the victory. Help us to step into that place of knowing that the victory is already yours. All we have to do is stand and wait for you to suddenly give it to us, because it's already done. It's already done at the cross 2,000 years ago. You've already predetermined and predestined all of this. And all we have to do is stay faithful to what you called us to do, to just put on the armor, as you've given us in Ephesians 6, to put on the armor and stand as you command us to stand. We don't have to fight other than just praying for our spouses. But the fight, the battle is yours, and you've already fought it, and you've already won it, and you've already handed it to us. We just have to wait, Father, for your perfect timing. Father, help us in the waiting. Encourage us and strengthen us in the waiting, Father, that we might be godly men and godly women standing for those things you have already promised to us, Father. Help us not be dismayed or discouraged by anything that we see or hear, Father, but instead turning around and praise you that we could cover our spouses in prayer and pray for those things that are hindering our spouses and have taken them to the prodigal, to the pig pen, like the prodigal, Father, that we can pray them back home to you and to us, Father. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us to this. This is an honor and a privilege, Father, to serve you in such a great way, Father, that we could do this, that others might see you more and more and more magnified in our lives. We thank you, Father, and we pray, Father, that tonight, everyone who's hearing this tonight on the call and in the recording posted on the wall, on the website later, Father, let this be a blessing to them, that they would be encouraged and strengthened to be bold and courageous and to be fierce in their prayers and their relationship with you, Father, because you've made us victors and warriors, mighty warriors, not weakly victims, Father. Our enemy wants us to believe that, but we are not that. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for giving us your word, your promises, and all the wisdom, discernment in the Bible that you've given us, because your word does not go out void and accomplishes all it sets out to accomplish. So we thank you, Father. Father, I bless every single husband, every single wife who's on this call and listening to this later, that they might be strengthened by your Holy Spirit until next time we come back in a conference call next week. Father, Lord willing, let it happen. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay.
Thank you so much.
Good night, guys.
God bless.
Good night, guys. Have a great night. Be blessed. Be encouraged.
God bless, everyone.
Good night. God bless.
Amen. Good night. Good night.